Hello, everyone. I'm Jordan Reddick, and this is Hawk Talk, a student podcast on the QU Media Podcast Network. And today, our special guest is the QU men's lacrosse coach, coaching staff, Coach Eric and Coach Johnny. Fellas, how y'all doing today?
We're doing okay. We've had a really rough week of GLVC play. Some guys are banged up. We're banged up. We've been at home. We've been on the road, and we still got one to go this week. So we're going through it. But other than that, we're happy to be here, happy to be alive, just living the dream.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, definitely.
Coach Johnny, how you doing?
Yeah, it's a good day. Yeah, it was a long week, right, when it's only Wednesday. But we're getting through it. One more game. Excited for that one and excited to get into the rest of the year.
That's good. That's good, fellas. So let's go ahead and get started. So, Eric, let's start with you. All right. Just give us a little bit about your background, your upbringing, and kind of how you got to where you at right now.
Oh, the story. Love a good story. So I grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada. When I started playing, there wasn't a ton of organized lacrosse that came as I was growing up. So I really started to take it serious in college. I played for UNLV's club team. We started rough, ended very strong. From there, I started coaching youth, a little bit of club ball, a little bit of high school. Started to get pretty good at it. Ended up going to Texas for a bit to coach Plano Senior High School and the University of Texas, Dallas. From there, went up to the Division II level at Adams State. Was there a year. Hawks came calling. I said, absolutely, I will live in Quincy, Illinois, and built the program from scratch. Our first ever committed guy will actually graduate in a week.
That's amazing.
And our first 10 total that have stayed are all here. Most will do their fifth year. This upcoming year, we've got a couple that'll graduate, but it has been a quick five-year process for me. It feels like only yesterday I was just moving into town, and now we've got guys graduating. We're out here winning games. We're recruiting pretty decent guys. But yeah, it all started in Las Vegas, Nevada, with a coach from Long Island who said, hey, let's play lacrosse. We're here today.
That's amazing, man. Coach Johnny?
Yeah, as far as my upbringing, I mean, me and Eric go way back, actually. I'm actually from Las Vegas, Nevada as well.
So y'all knew each other before you got here.
Yeah, so he was my middle school coach in seventh grade. Yeah, okay. So we go way back. We went from, you know, he was my assistant coach there, coached me for a year at Adams State when he was coaching there. And then now we're here today. So, yeah, started in Vegas, went to school in Colorado at Adams State University. Graduated from there, coached there for a year in lacrosse, and then got the call from Eric, and I was like, yeah, I need a new opportunity. I need somewhere to grow and learn, and this was the best place.
I feel it, fellas. So let's talk about, Eric, let's go to you, back to you. Let's talk about from the time you got here till now, how much has this organization grown?
Oh, my God, we should be a Fortune 500 company in the number one slot. We started year one was a little the recruit year was a little little bit of turmoil. They had tried to add lacrosse in 2016. That mm-hmm. didn't quite go well. So they gave it another shot in 2018. I came in. They were just hoping for bodies more than anything. We brought in a pretty solid class that first year. We had 22 total. We weren't even the smallest team in the GLVC. Three of us started at the same time. Us, Lewis, and Davenport. Us and Lewis have had the same size roster for about 4 years. Each year they get bigger, we get bigger. They get bigger, we get bigger. But it was a tough sell in the beginning. Division II lacrosse startup programs. They're hit or miss, kind of depending on where it goes. The five that started that year have all succeeded, but we've seen others fold prior attempts, hire a coach, doesn't quite work out. So we knew what we were in for. I knew what I was in for, and I hit the recruiting trail running hard. We ended up bringing in 11 states and Canada the first year.
Ooh, that's amazing.
Out of those 22, 10 have now made it to year four, which is huge, actually. I mean, usually you only have about 5 or 7 seniors on an average team. We will have 16 next year, including the juniors and the fifth years. First year, Murphy's Law existed. Yeah. We go into the fifth game of the season. COVID hits. We get kicked off the road in Alabama. We were down in Alabama playing Huntsville and Montevallo. The Alabama-Huntsville game was actually the last NCAA lacrosse game played that season. That's a cool little fun fact. And from there, we didn't know what was going to happen. So thank God for those guys that banded together and said, hey, we're coming back no matter what.
Yeah.
The next season was a little rough. Once everybody cooled, because we could practice again and things were starting to get back to normal. But our conference was the first conference in the nation to agree to a conference-only schedule to solve some of the issues with COVID.
Uh-huh.
You know, heavy travel and stuff. We all said, hey, we'll put these protocols in place. All at the time, 7 coaches voted for it, 7-0. And we went into a double round robin conference play only season as a second year team with 4 teams in the top 20 that year. So it was again, growing pains. We got to see a ton of high quality competition. We got to grow a ton as a team. And then the following year, year 3, we finally had 3 full classes on campus. We were starting to look like a real team. You know, we had about 30, 35 guys on it. And then we started rolling the ball. We started winning games. We started being competitive in games and just looking like a college team. So right. it took probably a year longer than I wanted to. If COVID never happened, we're probably a year ahead of pace. But it did happen. So now we're here in year 4. We're floating a 500 record now. We've gotten some monumental wins this season.
Right.
Beating Flagler in overtime was huge for us. Beating Lake Erie first game of the season is huge for us. Those are 2 teams that are going to go deep into their own conferences playoff runs. We got to go to some places that we've never been before. We went down to Florida to play some games.
That's amazing.
Went out to Ohio to play some games and went undefeated in Ohio and West Virginia, which was cool. That's a part of the country a lot of our guys have never seen. Now our roster is north of 40. Our incoming class next year is very, very talented and large. We should be over 50-man roster next year, and we are eclectic. We are from all over the country. We're from all over Canada. There's not a stone that doesn't get unturned with our recruiting strategies, and it's paid off very, very well for us. The majority of our team is still from the Midwest. We'll count Texas as the Midwest. But we're able to get out.
Texas is the Midwest.
Texas is the Midwest. Texas is Texas. But but we've got a ton of guys from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We've got a bunch of guys from Washington State, a few coming in and currently on the team from Las Vegas, Nevada. I have to hit my old stomping grounds. We do well in Colorado. And then, obviously, Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Ohio. We're doing well in those regards. So it's kind of cool to see the culture build with our program because all these guys are from just different dialects of the English language and different cultures. And they come to this town in the middle of America on the Mississippi River. Most of them have never seen a rural town like this, although I wouldn't call Quincy rural. It's about 50,000 people. But still, all of our guys are coming from the major markets of America.
Right.
So for them, this is foreign territory. And to see them gel and kind of create their own culture out of this, it's been a really fun ride to see. And something I'm extremely proud of from them.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Before I switch it over to you, Coach Johnny, Coach Eric, got one good question for you.
All right.
Do you feel like the GLVC conference is the best lacrosse conference? Because I hear you talk about the teams and, you know, we have conversations previously about it, about the conference. It just seems to me on the outside looking in, the GLVC has one of the best in the country when it comes to lacrosse.
It really does. If you look at it just from a statistical standpoint, we don't have too many teams low and we've got a lot high. Uh-huh. At the start of the 2023 season, we had a couple teams in the top 20. Now, unfortunately, it's only UIndy, but not for a lack of trying. All the GOVC teams this year have started swinging on the big dog opponents. All six of us, next year we'll have seven, but this year all six of us statistically ranked in the top 30 in almost every single category.
That's amazing.
You know, we've had a rough go, but we have a couple stats in the top 10 that you care about. You know, our man down is seventh in the country. Our man up's 20th in the country, and then our scoring offense, scoring defense are both in the top 30. And I mean, like, we're bringing up the back end, so to speak. So to say that for the GOVC is just huge. I mean, you've got some conferences in America that have some absolute big dogs.
Right.
But then that those same conferences in America have teams, you know, there's 79 Division II teams in America. You know, they have teams that are 78, 79, 80. We're all in the top 40.
That's amazing. That's great competition week in and week out.
Yeah, it seems like every single week on the Division II USILA team of the week, there's at least one representative from the GOVC, if not more. We're in a part of the country where it's not impossible to get to either side.
Right.
There's not a ton of West Coast lacrosse. You know, the most Western team currently is Colorado Mesa, and we play them every year. But the GOVC as a whole can get up to the North region and play the Mercyhursts of the world, the Lemoynes of the world. We can get down south and play those teams like the Limestones and the Andersons and such. The GOVC conference, if you add all six teams together this year, I think it had to be the most geographically diverse out-of-conference schedule in the nation.
Yeah.
I mean, we as the six teams played everybody we could. And we're in a spot where we can. You know, it's pretty easy to get north to Ohio. It's pretty easy to get south to Tennessee, Alabama. We're pretty fortunate in that aspect. The downside, well, the pro and the con is there are only six of us. So, like, you look at the Southern Athletic Conference, the SAC, they have 11 lacrosse teams. They're only getting to maybe three out of conference games at most. And so it really limits them. Their conference is also really good, but they can only play one or two of us at a time.
Right.
You know, we can kind of go play the entire RMAC. We can go play most of the GMAC. We can go play the Peach Belt. And it makes sense from a scheduling standpoint. So it's been cool to see the growth of this conference. We've been in the conference since inception. The GOVC was a spinoff of the old RMAC monstrosity of eight or nine teams and a couple independents. So we've been here since the beginning. It's been cool to watch the growth. It's been cool to see other teams coming in. Next year we'll have William Jewell in the conference. And, you know, we're growing. So it's a good time to be part of Midwestern lacrosse.
It definitely is. It definitely is. Now, Coach Johnny.
Yeah.
All right, my question to you is, all right, you stepping into your coaching career, right? You're stepping into a program where they're going into year four, right? I'm speaking before season started this year. Haven't really gathered that many wins yet. So how does it feel, and what was your agenda, your goal coming in before the season started?
So, yeah, definitely really difficult to come in. I came in here in January, and it was kind of difficult. You know, right before the season starts, you don't get to have that preseason fall with the guys to at least get to know them, know their tendencies and things like that. So my whole goal coming in at first was just to learn the guys, right? Like, kind of understand them as a culture, understand the team as a culture, and kind of just get to know them, right? I can't come in guns blazing if I don't have their respect, if they don't know me too well. So that was kind of the first goal for the first couple of months, get comfortable while also still, you know, bringing in what I can bring into the team, right? Trying to bring value to the team in my own way. So I feel like I've just now finally accomplished that, right? We're 4 months in now towards the end of the season, and I feel like I got a good hang of it about halfway through the season. Kind of the guys kind of respect me and I respect them, and we can have good dialogue, things like that. So yeah, I would say that was my main goal, and I feel like I'm pretty accomplished by that. So
that's amazing, man. Like you said, you came into something and you knew day one, like, I don't want to be feared.
Yeah.
Right. I want to be respected, and I want them to respect me, and I want to respect my players. And I feel like y'all together did a phenomenal job. So that kind of brings me to my next question of how did it feel, right? The season's not over. We still got one more game. But how did it feel to kind of double the amount of wins in program history together collectively, right? Y'all go way back, right? So how does it feel to kind of be like, we was able to build a relationship before getting here, and now that we're here, we was able to accomplish something so amazing for the program?
Well, and we kind of talk about it now, like I have more wins in my career here as a more than I had as a player or coaching in my previous career, or in my previous coaching job and playing. So that's a huge, you know, step for me. We have more goals scored than I've ever scored in my career in general. So that's huge. I mean, it feels good. Obviously, we're still looking for more wins.
Yeah, right? Of course.
That's what everyone's looking for. But we're always looking to get better, and it feels great.
Definitely, definitely. Coach?
Yeah, I sleep better at night these days. we had kind of seen the writing on the wall about mid-season last year. As long as these guys stay together, as long as we stay healthy, as long as we get a little bit of luck and a ball rolling our way, we were going to be good. I told a lot of people that this specific season was going to be the year before the year. This year we would win some games. We might lose some close games. We might win some close games. We were probably going to start to develop our consistency this season, and it showed. I should have probably spoken to existence national championship run, but I spoke into existence the year before the year, and I'll take that too. The growth and development we saw from the guys this season, I'll speak from August. August practices, September practices, very focused, very, hey, we're tired of being a doormat. We know we have the talent. We know we have the ability. Let's just start to string it all together. Right. And this season, you could see it happen in bunches. And we're still a little young. You know, again, we're only graduating four guys this year. So everybody's coming back next year, and we'll be more seasoned with more games played than ever. I mean, this season, 17 games played, that's the maximum you can play.
Right.
We wanted to challenge them this year. We wanted to prove to both ourselves and the nation, hey, we're here, and we can compete, and we did that. I thought it was a great experience for the boys to just – really start to be able to grind. You know, there were multiple weeks in this season where we couldn't game plan starting on a Monday. Mm-hmm. You know, like you guys as football coaches, right? Game plan starts on Monday.
Yes, it does.
Saturday. For us, game was on Monday. Game was on Wednesday. Game was on Saturday. Game was following Thursday. We played a stretch where I think we played we played four games in 8 days.
Jesus.
We played three games in 7 days, and then this finishing stretch will be three games in 7 days. You know, and sprinkled in are the Saturdays, right?
Right.
Yeah, all right, we got Monday to whole week to game plan. But that's just the nature of lacrosse in general. You know, Duke and Notre Dame are doing it too. We were no different. And it really got the guys into that mindset of grinding and just, hey, maybe the game plan is not as solid. Maybe we didn't get to watch as much film as we wanted, but we got to go out and play our game. And I thought there was a lot of games that they did that really, really well. And we'll build on that. Next year, we will not play as many games. We kind of learned a valuable lesson in why some teams only schedule 12 and 13. You know, Monday prep helps for a Saturday game.
Right.
So we're going to try to stick to most Saturdays next year. But we're going to play the right teams next year to give our chance at a pretty decent run. And we wouldn't have been able to do that if we didn't play this season.
So
we didn't do what we
so
did.
So basically this season was a, let's get our stuff together, right? Let's show everybody that we can compete at a high level. And like you pretty much already said, show everybody in the nation that we're not a doormat anymore.
Correct.
And I feel like y'all did a great job. I mean, y'all came into the season hot. Like hot. At one point, it was, I think I want to say, I looked and y'all was 5-1.
Yeah.
5-1, like that's amazing.
5-1, and that one was an overtime loss.
Yeah, so that kind of brought me to my next question of, you know, I realized that you guys did have a lot of games in a short amount of time. So what was the preparation like for you guys as far as just coaching? Like, did you guys focus more on, you know, getting enough sleep, having enough rest so we can play to our full potential? Was it some days you had to sacrifice the preparing just to make sure everybody was good? Like, just take us through a little bit of that.
Yeah, I'll be honest, it wasn't consistent because it couldn't be. You know, mm-hmm. those some weeks, yeah, we were full prep mode. Some weeks we didn't have time. You know, we were in, funny enough, we were in Florida. We were playing our three games, and their pool heater was broken. And I told the manager, that is perfect because we need some ice baths. And not that, I mean, it was 80 degrees in Florida, so it wasn't the end of the world. But like, we could fit 30 of them in that pool, so it worked. We kind of had to go, believe it or not, based on a professional sports team model, you know, specifically NBA, NHL. Mm-hmm. We took some of the advice from some of the strength coach and sports scientists of the NHL and the NBA, and just kind of segmented it day by day. There's a really good book about it called The Quadrant System, done by the Houston Rockets strength coach, and it's no week is the same, so you can't prepare the same every week. And so we would have, you know, we'll use today as an example. Our guys were in ice baths and athletic training this morning at 9 a.m. We're film only today to give the guys some much needed physical rest. You know, they won't get the mental rest. We got to prepare for UIndy.
Right.
But they'll get the physical rest. And then Thursday and Friday, we'll ease back into it. We'll do, you know, stick skills day, and then we'll jump back into it. 17th game of the season, we know who we are at this point, and that helps.
Right.
We had a really productive fall where we knew who we were and we knew what our identity needed to be. So we focused on ourselves when we had to focus on ourselves, and that was good, but they came in spurts of the grander idea. But yeah, it was planned. So when I say it wasn't consistent, don't mix those up. Every week was very planned on what we were going to do and what we were going to be able to accomplish. But when you're playing, you know, week one on a, on a Monday, Wednesday, week two on a Tuesday, Saturday, you know, it might get a little jumbled around.
Right.
So, but the boys did really well. Like I said, it taught them to grind. It really taught them the next play, next game mentality. We didn't have time to dwell on wins or losses.
Right.
And you know, that's the key, is don't get too high, don't get too low. So we really couldn't, you know, some of those wins felt really good, but we had a game 2 days later and we had to jump right back into it.
Yeah.
Same with some of the losses. You know, we got beaten up pretty good by a couple top 20 teams this year. Great. We learned and we got to go on because we got a game in 4 days. That monotony just, I think, really helped them grow up as adults and athletes and start to value certain things. I noticed this year more than any other year, more ice baths, more recovery stretching, more mm-hmm. kids in athletic training. You know, this year, by about game five, game six, they really started to value it, and I didn't feel like a broken record anymore.
Right.
And that was a good feeling. And that's part of the culture, right? You know, they started to value, well, I got to take care of my body if we're going to take care of this season. In years past, when we were only playing 12, 13 games, you know, they could get away with maybe not the extra stretch because they right. had a couple days to recover. Not this season, and it really instigated some work ethic into them.
Yep. I'm glad that you kind of touched on your process and how you said, right, we had to look at a couple different sports to kind of be like, okay, what is the best route to go with this? Because, I mean, baseball, NHL, basketball, they play 3-4 times a week sometimes. So the fact that you kind of realized that real quick and was like, okay, let's see what they did to kind of prepare or take the load off, and now you're moving forward, and you've seen the progress from it. So I hope a lot of coaches really take in consideration when they deal with sports like this, where you got to play multiple games in 1 week, right, and kind of use other sports to kind of keep your team healthy and together. So, Coach Johnny, right, yes. You're new here. Let's talk about recruiting from your point of view, mm-hmm. right? Are you used to it yet? Are you still trying to get adjusted?
Yeah, so I'm still trying to figure it out a little bit. I do have a little bit experience in it. But, you know, it's kind of just being real with the recruits or whatever, and just, you know, kind of from the start being like, this is what we're looking for in a player. These are, you know, this is what we're looking for culturally from guys. And then this is what we can offer to you, right? Whether that's what major you're looking for, or, you know, what we can bring for you athletically as well. So, yeah, I have some experience in it. I'm still definitely learning a lot, and he's been teaching me a lot. And, you know, we're about to get into our recruiting season too. So we've already reached out to a couple guys now, but we're going to really start reaching out here soon after the season ends.
Okay, so y'all recruiting – when is y'all recruiting year technically starts in hand for y'all?
So NCAA D1, D2 lacrosse, we are allowed to contact them September 1st of their junior year.
Gotcha.
Being at Division II Quincy, we hold off until probably about December, January of their mm-hmm. junior year. Let the D1s fight over the D1 kids, and then we'll go for the next best. How along the way, we've gotten very lucky, and we've gotten some kids that – got some pretty good phone calls in September. But we were a smaller staff, and we had to learn quickly what our regions were going to be. You know, what are our spots? What are our hotbeds for recruiting? We've got that locked in at this point, so now we don't waste any time. We'll go out this summer. We'll start to heavily look at the 2024 class. A lot of kids hit those late growth spurts, and that's big deal in college coaching. You know, you don't want to get your class too early and miss out on someone that, you know, late bloomed in December, and by the way, now they're tearing it up in Chicago or something.
Yeah.
So we'll start. We've got a pretty decent list of 2024s at this point, and we'll start to narrow it down, add kids to the list, take kids off the list. Meanwhile, when at the tail end of the tournament season, lacrosse summer recruiting usually goes June and July. Tail end of July, we'll start circling some of those early season 25s.
Right.
And see who we think will probably get some phone calls from some bigger Division I programs and who we can realistically get. We do extremely well in five markets of North America. We do really well in Saskatoon, Canada, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Dallas, Texas, Denver, Colorado, Chicago, Illinois. So those are the main hubs that we really look at. We'll get kids from all over the place too. We've got three very, very talented individuals from Washington State. We can kind of lump all of the West Coast in as one. We'll typically go out to the big West Coast tournament in July each year, and we can just knock it all out because we'll see teams from Oregon, Washington, California, Denver, Vegas, Texas. But the Midwest tournaments, we really do just see a lot of teams from Chicago playing teams from Chicago, a lot of teams from Minnesota playing teams from Minnesota. And so we have to be a little bit more pick and choosy of what tournaments we decide to go to in the Midwest. We typically don't go out east. There's just the way the map of Division I, Division II, Division III lacrosse work in the NCAA, 90% of the teams are in the Eastern time zone.
Right.
So we try to get the most bang for our buck, regionally speaking, and go out where there just isn't. You know, the RMAC next year's five teams, California, Utah, and Colorado. So there's a lot to choose from in the West Coast, specifically anything west of the Mississippi. And then in the Midwest, we try to get those kids who want to stay a little bit closer to home but be just far enough away that they feel away. And then on the East Coast, we go – there's 20 other schools you can choose from. So why here? And that has worked out very, very well for us. Just knowing the markets that we're going to be strong and competitive in and tackling those markets. And I think we do a very, very good job of that. A lot of teams will go all over the country and just see who they can find. We do it pretty methodically at this point. We know we're going to get three or four kids from Dallas, Texas. We know we're going to get two or three kids from Minneapolis. We know we're always going to be able to attack home and get one or two West Coast kids. And then Chicago, Indiana, St. Louis, we're going to be a little bit more pick and choosy, but we're going to see who we can get.
Right. Okay, fellas. I mean, y'all dropping a lot of knowledge on us today. So I got just a couple more questions. Let's talk about the team this year. Who stepped up big? Who was you looking forward to step up? And for you, Coach Johnny, like, who was you surprised about when you got here?
Ooh, really everybody, just as a team. But more specifically, probably Brooksy, you know. Donald Griffith. He's a redshirt freshman this year. What is he, 6'2"?
generously six, yeah. maybe 6'3".
Maybe 6'3", yeah. Just a monster of a kid. Just, you know, and he's got the work ethic to back it up, man.
Right.
He's in practice every day. He's going 100%. Even on the lull days, right, if we're in between games, like we've been talking about, like when we're trying to rest and recover, like he's still going hard in drills. Cannon of a shot, great dodger, and, you know, as a redshirt freshman, he's got a lot to learn, and he's willing. He's yeah. he's ready to learn. He's a student of the game for sure.
Coach?
Oh, too many to count. Usual suspects really stepped up well in their junior and senior years. My entire defense really locked it down. This was the first year that Ryan Riggs got the cage to himself. He's always had to split it part-time. He will start 17 of 17 games, and he will play just about 60 of 60 minutes in every game. We did let our backup goalies play in a couple games, but meaningful minutes, that was Ryan Riggs. That was his spot.
Well, speaking of Ryan, before you continue, because I looked up his stats. He really played that many games? Because he has, like, I want to say it was, like, mid-50s to low 60% on, like, goals saved?
Yeah. Yeah, he's actually currently in GLVC play most saves per game. His save percentage is a little low. Lacrosse works like hockey, you know. You really care about more saves than the couple that are going to go in, but he's done very well. I think he's maintained being top 10 in the nation all season. I know at one point he was as high as 3 or 4. I think right now he's floating like 7, 8, or 9. NCAA.com will know. But, yeah, he's stepped up. He's got three very strong poles in front of him in Jared Fournier, Zach Springborn, and Connor Knock. Connor Knock, as a sophomore, has really started to step up this year. He did start as a freshman, and rightfully so, and this year he has just taken over the game. I think 24 caused turnovers on the year. And a couple goals and assists, actually, to boot. The kid has some wheels. At the midfield, having Brooks Griffith come in, Mason Murano taking faceoffs and playing midfield and attack has been huge for us. Unfortunately, he hurt his ankle in our first GLVC game in the first quarter against Maryville. But up until that point, he was on a tear nationally. I actually think he got robbed of Division II Player of the Week a couple times just because he's so versatile for us. You can't really – his stats, I mean, he's in any given game, he's got just about every single stat because he takes faceoffs for us, he plays attack for us, plays midfield for us. But he's done extremely well. Our captain, Nicholas Woodworth, really has really honed in his game this year. Actually, the first, what was it, 9 games of the season, his shooting percentage was 1,000.
Oh, yeah.
He's scoring one goal or 2 goals a game on 1 or 2 shots, just sniping it.
Yeah, that's crazy right there.
It was pretty fun to watch. And then attack, you know, the two giant elephants in the room, Jordan Ernst slowly approaching 40 goals in a season, which is a tremendous mark to hit. And then Jamie Brain being our first career 100-point guy. 100 points is the benchmark for lacrosse, right? Like, in your career, you want 100 points, whether it be all goals, all assists, a combination of both. He hit that as a junior, and hasn't stopped. So he's going to hopefully get some postseason recognition there. And then our third attackman, Blaine Lawrence, is a silent assassin. Mm-hmm. I saw last night when I was looking at stats, he's got something like 35 points on the season. You'd never guess it. He's slippery. No one can know where he's going to be on the field. But those are the heavy hitters. We've had some guys step up into some serious roles this year that really, really made the team go. We've got two guys offensively that we can put anywhere on the field. I call them my NBA sixth man of the year guys in Christian Zarni and Caden Prediger. They've started games at attack. They've played games at midfield. They've both silently gotten pretty decent stats this year. And they're guys we can trust. We know we can put them here. We can put them there. And they've been huge. We've gotten some guys that have figured it out really, really throughout the season as sophomores. And then our D-mid LSM core have sacrificed their bodies left and right. They had a pretty good season. So I do have to commend all of my guys because it's been a total team effort. You know, right. my saying is we're the sum of all parts. and they've really started to embrace that. And, I mean, yesterday in our game against Rockhurst. So we recruited this kid from Omaha, Nebraska last year as a goalie, and Ryan exists as a person. So he kind of saw the writing on the wall and said, well, how can I help this team? So we moved him to midfield, and he has gotten just progressively better and better and better every game. He's got some goals on the season, but yesterday he couldn't buy a goal, and he was shooting so well, right where you want him to shoot, just lucky save here, lucky save there, but really started commanding and demanding the ball. And it was just cool to see that growth more than anything. You know, a kid comes in as a goalie in Nebraska. You know, Nebraska is not what I would call a hotbed of lacrosse. And although he's very talented, you know, he had to come up to a different level. And then to see him do it again this year and do it so valiantly, kudos to them. But we've been really proud of the guys this season, just total team effort. Yeah, we've got some big dogs that rightfully nationally should see some recognition. But we've got some pretty good role players that want to see the team succeed as well.
That's amazing. So basically what you're saying is once your senior's gone from this year, everybody should be scared of this next group of guys for next year?
Oh, absolutely. We're not rebuilding. We're reloading.
I love that. We not rebuilding. They reloading. All right, fellas. So last thing before we close it out, can you just shout out, you know, your Twitters, Instagram, wherever they can find you, recruits, other coaches, just where everybody can find you guys at?
Yeah, all of our social media is QUMLAX, one word. We got pretty lucky that Quinnipiac didn't steal that, you know. That's all of our social media. We're pretty easily accessible. This summer we'll be on the road, primarily in the Midwest and the West Coast. I'll be at some Team USA stuff along the way. Johnny will be somewhere along the way and probably with me. Yeah.
Anywhere and everywhere, baby.
Yeah, anywhere and everywhere, no stone unturned.
Amazing. All right. Again, thank you, fellas, for coming out, Coach Johnny, Coach Eric. All right, we really appreciate you guys for coming on and talking about the program and the success you guys had, not just this year, but years prior, right? Right. We wanted to – y'all was able to talk about your recruiting, the team this year, a team that I will assume will go down in QU history, I want to say, I will hope.
Yeah. I mean, we actually doubled our goal total. We have, I think, the second most or third most in Division II. We have our 204th goal last night. Our previous all-time record was 100. This past season, we broke our all-time record in Game 5.
That's amazing.
So it's been cool to see. Statistically, like, we have crushed every record, every stat, and, you know, from a lot of these guys, they're not done yet. You know, Jamie's our first 100-point guy, but he's got a whole season ahead.
Right.
You know, we'll knock on wood that some good things happen tomorrow, but, you know, Jordan Ernst will probably have the single-season goal record. Mason Morano will have the single-season assist record. Ryan, obviously, will have the all-time saves record. And just it's cool to see those things start to happen because as we get more and more talented and more through the system of age, those are records that may get touched, may not. We don't know.
Right.
You know, we think Brooksy will probably break a few. But now, you know, a lot of our freshmen have stepped up in roles and won't see starting time, whereas for the last three classes, our freshmen, you know, one or two every year were expected to start and contribute immediately.
Right.
So, you know, Jamie Brain has started since he was a freshman. Jordan Ernst has started since he was a freshman. Blaine Lawrence started since he was a freshman. Well, those three have the attack spot locked up for a whole other year, and so now the guys we're bringing in still have to wait or see some extra time, and then once they're gone, yeah, it's absolutely their show, but you know, they're going to get it at 2 years, maybe 3 years, not the full four-year mark. But that's what you want out of a program, right?
Right.
You want guys to step up into roles after guys leave. You don't want to worry. You know, we're not worried when these guys graduate. We've got guys that are willing to step up and ready to step up.
Right.
That's what you want.
Well, and they help us compete at practice as well, right? Like, those guys got the spots, but, you know, those guys coming in that are going to be good and help them compete in practice. So they're also getting better.
Right. It's amazing. Like I said, man, this year was a historic run for you guys. We're proud of y'all. I'm pretty sure the school is proud of y'all, right? But next year, we need a championship.
Yes, next year it's on.
Next year, I'm manifested. I'm going to say it every day.
Oh, you and me both. I learned my lesson this year, saying it was the year before the year, starting April 30th. You know, April 29th, 3 p.m. Next year's the championship run. I'm going to say it every day if I have to.
All righty, fellas. Thank you again. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Hawk Talk podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Reddick, and this has been a production of the QU Media Podcast Network.